Welcome to Brands Made Meaningful, conversations with the team at Sussner about how purposeful branding inspires unity, identity, and powerful change for growth-minded organizations.
Derek, change is hard, is kind of that big overarching sentiment that I think I would tell every single client, but even determining how you should change might be even harder.
If an organization is having some sort of issue and they realize that the status quo isn't going to get better or isn't going to solve whatever that issue is, whether you know it's growth or financial, has to do with their customer base or memberships, then change is required.
Yeah, I think every brand encounters obstacles that makes you feel like, wow, we're just not realizing our full potential. And what you should do next is that big question. Is like, so how are we going to approach this? So over the last 25 years, you and our team have really had this extensive experience in helping organizations overcome that fear right there. We're not realizing our potential. How do we do this? What should we do? There is this idea that there is no situation for an organization that is the same. I don't think that I've ever encountered one since being here that this is the exact same situation as this one. But what we've tried to do is pull them into, here's ways that we can identify these to help people understand, you're trying to make this type of transformation, this is what that looks like, and here's what we need to do to make that transformation happen.
The solutions and the recommended approach to each individual organization's challenge, issue, or opportunity is absolutely customized to help them specifically. But at a high level, when we step back and we look at all of the sports organizations, the sports teams, the clubs that we work with, we've literally identified six different reasons, the most common reasons, the situations that we see them struggling with the most, that is the common thread through all of them.
I call them transformation strategies. Here's the way that they're trying to go about it. It's like, how do we articulate that in some kind of capacity? And so today, what I wanted to do is just walk through those six, just what they mean, probably saying, here's what that looks like, and then maybe giving them an example. I want to use ones that are on our website too. So if someone's listening to this, if you hear like, oh man, that's the type of transformation that I think we might need, going to our website and looking at this case study that we're talking about would really help you visualize what that type of transformation looks like.
If you're new to this podcast, we mean brand transformations.
Yeah.
So we're coming at this from a branding, brand identity, brand strategy approach, not a transformation within how you make your sports products or, you know, the business operations behind the scenes, although a lot of times the brand strategy can impact that.
Well, yeah, they go hand in hand, right? So whatever your brand strategy is either influenced or does influence that business strategy to say, well, what perception are we trying to create? Well, it depends on what kind of business we're trying to make and what type of products or services we're trying to offer. So they absolutely go together.
So let's run through all six.
Yep.
These are really interesting to me. This is what we do. This is what we talk to clients about all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it could be fun to break each one of these out into its own episode, have its own conversation.
If people are interested into it, I think that it would say, wow, we really want a conversation about each going into, so what does a project look like for that? As in like, what are the deliverables? How long does that take? So like some things like that, there's nuances between all of these. But it would help, I think, to go on a deep level, but we just can't do that in this conversation because I would talk all day. It just wouldn't be good. So let's dive into the six, starting with brand refresh. So this one is all about updating, but not necessarily changing the current strategy in place.
Updating the visual elements of your brand, refining the messaging, updating or adding to or enhancing the overall brand identity using the strategy that you already have in place.
Yep.
You're not starting from scratch. You're taking the things that are working and making them better.
And modernizing them to say, okay, this storyline that we're really leaning into works really well. This relevance, this differentiation that we're leaning into, here's why we're competitive in our current market. How do we just lean into that more versus completely changing our strategy? This is what a refresh is like. We're trying to make sure that we don't lose any equity that's out there. A project that really resonates with this is Lemon Bay Golf Club, and that's on our website. It goes through, here's where we are today. We're already this type of people. How do we just show that in a modernized way?
Lemon Bay has a 30-year history of delighted members, healthy membership, a waiting list. Note that in any of these six, we'd never use the word rebrand. Rebrand is almost the equivalent to me in starting over, starting from scratch. Sure. And the key note that you just said under the refresh example is there's existing equity. There are a lot of things that are going right, but we have the opportunity to find out those things, update that story, and modernize is a great way to talk about what this looks like.
So we want to go after the same people with the same product core offering with all of these same things. We just feel like we look a little tired, or maybe we sound a little tired, and we just need to update that, modernize that. How does that come to the fold? So like for them, it did come back in a new logo and new colors and new all these other things, but they have the same story. They have the same way they go about it. They didn't change their service. They haven't really changed the core offering of the club and what they're all about and who they're really for. It's just a matter of how do we tell that in something that was built today versus something that might have been originally created in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep, 30 years can go by in the blink of an eye. And next thing you know,
for sure,
you need a refresh.
The second one is a brand evolution. So I say evolution, people might say repositioning might be another thing to talk about. This is really about, we have an opportunity to change our offering, or to change our market, or to change our category altogether. As in, we're going to go after someone different, we're going to be versus other people, or we're going to bring something different to that market. That's going to require us to probably reposition ourselves and to tell a different story. So not the same story in a modern way, but a completely different story with similar name maybe, or some of those components that's like, there's still a little equity here, but we need to evolve ourselves.
Again, there is equity. There's absolutely something going on, something right. So this isn't for a startup. So this is an organization that's been around, that's been doing something right for long enough that you've got to the place where you are. But an evolution is it's a more meaty, it's a more substantial type of project.
We sometimes call this a brand pivot. Mm-hmm. Like, we might not be going in this direction anymore. We're going to take a 30-degree shift, or we're going to move. It's not 180. We're not a completely different company than we just were, but we're going to go after maybe a different set of people. Maybe we're a sporting goods company and we're going to go after a younger audience versus an older audience that we currently go after. That repositioning, that pivot, or that evolution of our brand is going to require us to change our strategy in some way and leverage some of the equities to tell a nuanced story that's different, but not completely unauthentic to who we are today.
And the example that we link this back to on our website is McDavid USA, the sporting goods company. We've talked about them before on this podcast, and the evolution that they went through. It was a substantial repositioning. It was a step back to say, up until now, we've been for an older, aging male audience with a message of pain relief and sports medicine. And given the trends in the market and in all of the opportunity that they've identified, they realized that without alienating that audience, they could reposition their brand to be about performance and to be about helping youth sports and youth and younger athletes crush it in whatever they're trying to do and become about opportunity and not about pain. So that was a substantial
So maybe not a 30-degree shift, maybe more of like a 60-degree shift.
Yeah, I think 60 is pretty good.
But if you boil that down to the situation, they were changing their audience, but they were not changing their product. They were still offering the exact same products, just with a different visual aid on it. And then they weren't changing their industry. They're still going in. They're still in the sporting goods, the sports medicine industry. They weren't changing any of those things, but they were changing that audience. So I think it's to go, how do we tell a new story leveraging our name? Because their name had great equity in quality and those kind of components. How do we leverage that name and still tell a different story to a younger audience? Is that challenge that we had to help them come through.
And this was a brand that had also been around for about that 30-year mark. And so what that, because this was a little bit more substantial when it had that dramatic of a pivot, required readdressing the mission. Who are we for?
Yeah,
what is the world that we are trying to create? It wasn't just a cosmetic change. There was the core values of the organization didn't change. The purpose didn't change, but the mission and how they were going to achieve what they needed to be updated and redefined.
Just resetting your sights, right? So that's a really good point, is that for the first one, we talked about just refreshing a brand. Normally we take the core values, all those things, like the positioning, the core values, the mission, vision, purpose, all those things, they stay the same. It's to say we are the same company. We are just now trying to modernize ourselves. With this one, it's more something is changing with us, whether it's that product or something else, but we need to shift our brand to evolve to this new offering, this new audience, whatever it is, to meet that need. Next one is brand creation. So when a lot of people go, you're going to build a brand from scratch, this is what it is, right? It's creating a brand, establishing a new identity, establishing something to say, our clients come to us and say, here's this new product, here's this new idea, here's this new something that hasn't ever been seen anywhere. What do we do? How do we build it from scratch? This is where brand creation comes in.
And if this is brand new or if it's a startup, that's where we get into having to establish a lot of the brand strategy and core components up front. Yeah. If this is a subset brand or a sub, like you said, a new offering, like internal team member brand for Lifetime Fitness that we worked on, where we didn't touch the Lifetime Fitness master brand.
Not at all.
That was our North Star, to then help us determine strategically how a member, an internal employee-focused brand would ladder up and support that.
Yeah, and that's a tricky kind of conversation. Is it whether it's a new brand or a sub-brand? We're working on a sub-brand right now for a client, and they're building out a product offering that is completely different than anything else that they do. So what we do is we look at that master brand, like you said, as a North Star, but not as a... it's a North Star, but it's not a complete hard and fast rule, right? Because we're speaking to a different audience. We're having a different product and we do a different thing. So there's the nuances in there. It should feel a part of the ecosystem.
Should be authentic to the master brand.
Absolutely.
But it needs to be relevant to this other initiative.
Yeah, and surprising to this new audience. So how do we build that out? Is that creation aspect, like you said, we're building a new strategy, we're understanding a new landscape, we're trying to do something that has not been done for our company in a long time, and it doesn't involve our core offering, maybe our core audience or any of those other things. Next one is brand expansion. So this happens when maybe a brand that we're working with wants to expand into a new territory, whether that's geographic or maybe it's a new industry. Maybe they're expanding their offerings to say, we do offer this now, and now we're going to add these product lines. And what does that look like from our master brand standpoint? Because now we're not as narrowed as we used to be. We have to be a little broader. So how do we make sure that when we expand, we're doing so meaningfully and not losing the equities with our current offerings, our current audiences, our current markets, but we're trying to go after these new ones. And I think the one that really comes up for me is Unicor. It's a really good example.
Yeah, Unicor is a golf technology business that had about a decade of really impressive success in the Asian golf markets with a golf simulator, golf launch monitor technology product. They did well enough in a golf hungry area of the world that they then looked at the next largest, fastest growing golf market, which is the United States and North America. So for them, it was specifically about introducing not only their brand, but a product line that was in addition to what they already carried into the United States market. We're not determining what those products are, but in that ecosystem of their master brand, to determine from a marketing standpoint, if we're going to introduce something in a brand new place to a brand new audience who might want a nuanced difference from what your current audience or market has, how do we put that story together in a meaningful way?
It's a good conversation. Is how do we take advantage of some opportunities without losing our current
You've proven that it works.
Yeah.
But yeah. What people in one part of the world want might be different than what other people in the world want.
Yeah.
And so there's some strategic.
And I think their story is probably the easiest to understand when you talk about expansion, right? Because it's just like, oh, well, obviously the Korean markets are very different than the American markets from just you consumer preferences. But when we look into maybe you're a private club and you're starting to say, well, we were a golf club forever, but now we're trying to expand ourselves more into a country club. And what does that look like? Because now we have a bigger audience, a little broader. How does our master brand change because we're expanding and we're trying to get larger? That's the same as if you were to look at anything else.
Yep. For private clubs, I see public golf clubs that go private or attempt to go private.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Where they try to raise enough members to then say, we are now for a different audience than what we have been.
And I would say that that's more of a brand evolution because now we're doing a pivot beside, we're saying we're offering similar things, but we're now to a completely different audience. So we're not expanding our offerings. We're not changing who we are. We're now just changing who we're for or what we're really going to offer them. And so,
yeah, good point.
It's the nuance, right? It's super tricky because then you go, okay, so like what's going on here and why is it important to identify these? It helps us make sure that we're going about it in the right way so that we're not just slash and burn. I think that you say that a lot when you're not the slash and burn part, but when you're like, there's equity here, we can't just lose that. Understanding what type of transformation we want to try to achieve helps us understand how much equity we need to maintain because that keeps us relevant to certain people or not.
And not all history is relevant either. Not all the equity is relevant to what this opportunity might be. The equity for Unicor was to say we've had enough success in Korea. We see how many Korean golfers are in the United States, especially on tour. It's a massive shift in the demographic of who we are watching play golf, especially on the LPGA.
Yeah.
So that was enough strategic leverage for them to say, I think this is a viable opportunity for us. Let's give it a shot. But the gaming equity that they have in their back pocket of where they actually evolve from as engineers of online gaming, that transitioned into the software, not into the strategy of how you
of the brand, right?
Penetrate with a brand new brand.
The next one is a brand merge. So this happens, think about when we're dealing with mergers and acquisition type of situations or something's happening to go, we're uniting two or more brands. The best example that we have is Game One, is in uniting eight brands into one that are all even set. How do we build one brand out of eight of them? This is a brand merge, right? We're going to try to take the best parts of each of these things and make sure we build something that's authentic to who we are, build something that's really relevant to one core audience, and then build something that's surprising and delightful to all the employees and all these current customers for these brands.
If we haven't done so, we'll do a standalone conversation at some point soon about Game One and the entire sports organization and what that looked like. Because this now includes creating a new name. And because
most likely the
strategy for this particular client, was determined that the names of the eight existing organizations that came together did not support the whole goal of unifying all of them under a banner that brought them all together.
Yeah. And I think for them, I don't want to get too far into the weeds with that project, but I mean, that project's exciting because it's to say we have all eight regional brands. We're trying to build them into one cohesive national brand that feels like it has the right to win that space. What does that look like? To say, here's eight ways that we can do it regionally, but we're going to merge these together to do it one way. The business strategy there was to say, we need to merge these, right? Because we're going to get all of these equities out of it. We're going to be able to build a national footprint. There's so many business reasons that they had already. And when they came to us and said, here's what we're thinking about doing, what does this look like from a brand side? That goes into, all right, we need to understand which of these, if any, have the equity to move forward as the master brand. And at the time, none of them really did. So the idea was to say, we need to build one new brand, one brand architecture that kind of collects and scoops these all into one that's really nice, and then a storyline that all of them resonate with. We didn't want to lose the uniqueness of each of those regional brands. We didn't want to lose the service levels. We didn't want to lose all of those components, but that really had to come back to say, who are we and why are we uniting? And then how does that come to play from a brand side?
From the business side, they've been able to consolidate buying power, purchasing leverage with all the partners and all of the other sports brands and products that they carry and sell. Makes a ton of sense. From a branding, from a marketing and an advertising sense, to be able to unify and consolidate all of those efforts to promote one brand, yep, instead of divide that effort by eight into eight different parts of the country, but now to have one focused message that then they can determine what the subsets of messages are that are most relevant to different sports, to different, you know, audiences, etc., has resulted in incredible growth for them. And it's made the marketing team that they've put together a lot smarter and more effective and focused.
That project is so exciting to me because it was super fun. And you're seeing it behind me in our conference room. It's just set up on the boards. And so I love that project because of how complex and how nuanced and then how successful it all was. It was just like, wow, this is a really ambitious idea. And it worked. And like, that's the thing that gets me super excited about it.
And again, that's on our website too. Feel free to check out some behind the scenes of Game One.
Love that project. The last one, which I would say is probably one of the more common ones that we do out of all of these six, is brand clarity. So this really is about clarifying our current position, our current values, our current messaging, and simplifying it just so that we understand, what are we connecting with? What's really good here? What ways are we currently marketing ourselves that's really effective so that we have clarity? We could, this involves maybe putting guidelines to things. This involves just putting maybe a North Star out there to say, you guys are already doing this. Just make sure that you understand, here's what makes you different. Here's what makes you unique. And here's what makes you really surprising, and keep going after that.
We look at the overall work that we do into three different buckets. First is brand strategy. Second is brand development, which is where the creative happens. And then third is brand activation and how all of that comes to life. And for me, this really leans in hard in that strategy component. Oftentimes, like the work that we did with the Minnesota Vikings recently was a completely internal deliverable to that team, was never going to be about their, you know, fan-facing brand, palette, logo, or graphics.
They have most of these larger brands that we've worked with have creative teams inside, right? And they have really good ones. Like going back to the Minnesota Vikings, they have a great creative team. It is not our job to come in and say, here's what you need to do from a creative side. But what most of them don't have on their team is someone that thinks about it from a third-party strategic lens to say, what are we doing right now that's really great? And I think that there's a lot of people that get lost in the weeds because they do so much work. I mean, think about some of these large brands. They put out so much stuff.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's incredible. They're engines of content. And what I think that you get lost in is the nuance between, just because we're putting out a lot doesn't mean it's all great, and understanding where our core relevance is and where our core surprise can be found is really helpful for those teams to go, you know what, you're right. It just kind of keeps us on track. It makes sure that those guardrails, we maybe have gotten off here or there, maybe we've moved a little bit, but this keeps us just on track where we're going. It's not changing our strategy, but it's just saying, you want to do this. Here's just the clarity that helps you do that a little bit better.
Their internal brand team and creative team creates so much content that what they were craving was reasoning and guideline structure to say, help us be more efficient and thoughtful and smarter about the type of content that we're producing so that it's more effective to the various audiences that we've identified, not only as fans, but as corporate partners also.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to say, who is relevant to us still? That's clarity. Just to say, are we still working with the same people, working with Sprocket and understanding their personas, right? So that our research partner, April at Sprocket, is great because she's going to say, here are all of our opportunities from a persona standpoint.
For the Vikings.
And for us to then come back and go, well, here's the nuance. Here's what they all kind of gravitate towards. And how do we build that master brand? Not us building it like designing it, but to say, what are our guiding North Stars to say, here's what's really going to align us with what we need to be. And that's really all they needed, because they have a great team and they have a great marketing department. They have amazing people that work over there. That they all they just wanted was that third party to come in and give them a gut check. Are we doing this right? Are we going down the right path here? Or do we need to realign where we're going?
I think brand clarity is the results and the deliverable is part validation and part inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've worked with other clients with this too, right? It's not just the idea of pulling in all of this information and then giving you a new idea every single time. Some of it is just like, people are just like, I just want to know, we're doing a ton of work. I just want to know if we're doing what we think we're doing, or if we're just kind of aimlessly wandering down this path of doing lots of work just to do a lot of work.
Are we heading in the right direction intentionally and purposefully to where we believe we need to go to help us achieve the goals that we've set, or have we strayed a little bit? And it's a great realignment and refinement of that strategic plan.
Takeaways. So I'm just going to run through them really quick from a high level again. So the six that we talked about today for the brand transformation strategies are, we're either going to do a brand refresh, a brand evolution, brand creation, brand expansion, brand merge, or brand clarity. And those really ladder up to say, what is our business strategy? What do we want out of this? And what do we need right now? We might not need to do a complete new refresh. Maybe we just need clarity on what's wrong, or maybe what the opportunity is in the market right now. And that can help. For me, this whole conversation is around branding is complex and difficult to navigate. I think that that is such a theme with most of our clients. They don't come to us and say, hey, I would like to do a brand evolution. And we go, okay, sounds good. And we just move on. This is not like a menu item. We use these to help bridge the gap between, you're talking about this challenge that you're right here. It sounds a lot like this type of transformation is what is in store. Does that sound right to you or not? And that just helps us have the conversation with them and gets them to go, okay, I get what you're talking about. Get them out of their day-to-day language and move into something that might help clarify where they're going.
And while it is nuanced and challenging and complex, being able to have a conversation with a prospective client, whether we work with them or not, but to help them identify with what this issue is, to, for us to be able to give them a little bit of peace of mind to say, I get what you're dealing with is complex and maybe frustrating for you, but it's not that unique. The nuance is how it would be solved for you, would be customized to you, but you're not the first organization in the world to have this specific problem, challenge, or opportunity.
Yeah. When we say, like, hey, someone comes to us and we have a conversation and it goes, wow, we really need brand clarity, that doesn't mean that, like, okay, here's our templated approach to how this works. It would be, okay, what do we need to know? And what can we do to make sure we understand that? So like I said, these aren't individual, like, here's a project plan that meets that exact thing, but it just helps everyone on our team and your team really get a good picture of what are we trying to do? It's like our big objective, right? We're trying to understand where we're going off the rails and where we're not. Okay, so we're talking about having some brand clarity. That's our overarching objective for the project.
Yeah, and when in doubt, start with that one.
That is the easiest one to understand, because you can make a decision on everything else afterwards. But
in the meantime, if any of these sound interesting to you, if you'd like more information, if you'd like to get to see examples of any or all of these, please, again, check out Susner.com. Go to our capabilities page. We have a description and a little bit more elaboration on each of these. And stay tuned for upcoming conversations where I think we're going to dive into these one by one.
Yeah. And if you heard this and you go, oh my God, we need to go through this type of transformation right now, call us right away.
Yeah. Give us a shout. We'd love to talk.
It'd be super great. I'd love to talk to someone who goes, I heard your podcast about this and I really, really want to talk about it. That sounds awesome.
That would be great.
All right. Till next time.
See you. See you soon. Susner is a branding firm specializing in helping companies make a meaningful mark, guiding marketing leaders who are working to make their brand communicate better, stand out, and engage audiences to grow their business. For more on Susner, visit Susner.com.